Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Talking and praying this week about being tested, about being ready for the test, recognizing that Jesus experienced testing and temptation by the devil, and as a part of living life. In fact, the Bible says he was tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. And so we're going to be looking at different aspects of the testing that we experience and talk and pray a little bit about how we overcome that, how we stand or pass the test that comes our way. And today we're going to talk, focus in specifically on tested for obedience. Many of the things that we experience in life are choices. Choices whether we obey God's word or whether we disobey God's word. Now the difficulty is that we don't often think in those terms. Most of life we just kind of make our way through it, choosing what is best for us, what's best for our family, what's best from our point of view. And perhaps as we mature, we reach a point where we choose things based on what's best from God's perspective. But even when we get to the point of predominantly choosing what's best from God's perspective, I'm not sure we often think about that in terms of our obedience. Not specifically. We think about it pleasing God or honoring God or bringing about God's blessings on us or but I'm not sure we And I use the word we, but I could probably be accurate for sure to say I'm not sure I often think of, is this obedient to God or isn't it? And using that as the test, the primary concern as to whether I do it, whether I say it, whether I think it. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9, Paul writes, and he says, "The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything." Well, I think you could fairly say that that's the purpose of God's word as a whole. Paul was writing to the Corinthians specifically and addressing various issues in 2 Corinthians that he had already addressed in 1 Corinthians. And he said, "I'm writing to give you a test to see if you've been obedient to the things of God that I pointed out already." And as we read God's word, it's as if God's saying, "I'm writing this to give you a test, to see if you've been obedient." Now, I think sometimes we hear that and we almost, because that's our nature in this Western culture that we live in, test or pass and fail, that somehow this test is whether we get into heaven or not. We think of it as a college entrance exam, and that's not what it is at all. We get into heaven or not based on our acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior, by our willingness to repent of sin and say, "I'm done with it. I'm going to surrender my life wholly to God." The test is more of an evaluation of how am I doing? Where do I need to work on? What do I need to work on in my life? And one of those biggest areas is this test of obedience. You know, the old saying, I know what God's word says, but he didn't understand what today would be like. He doesn't know my coworkers. He doesn't realize how badly I need this job. And we go on and on, and we make excuses as if God is blind or indifferent to our life. And those excuses become fuel for our disobedience. And so when we read God's word, we ought to begin by saying, how do I apply this in a way that's obedient? When he says to love my enemies, to do good to those who persecute me. What is an obedient reaction to that instruction from Jesus? And we can go verse after verse, chapter after chapter, book after book, and ask ourselves that very question. What does an obedient reaction to what I've just read look like? If you've raised children, you know that obedience is not always a natural thing. We have this flesh that we live in that tends towards disobedience. It's a nature that desires independence from everyone. And here in the United States of America, we create independence as a god. And we forget the interdependence that we have with one another and the full dependence we ought to have on Christ. And when we talk about it, we acknowledge those are things that are true and important and vital and valuable. But do we live that way? It's easy to say these are the things that God wants. It's much more difficult to do these are the things God wants. Jesus told a story that many of those listening are probably familiar with, a story of the Good Samaritan. But sometimes we lose sight of why Jesus told that story. Jesus told that story because a man came to, well, perhaps test him. He may have genuinely been curious. He may have not been so genuine. I don't know for sure. But he wanted to know what it would take to achieve eternal life. And this man was a teacher of the law. This man was an expert. And so Jesus asked, what does the law say? What does God's word say? And he says, well, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, oh, you've got it. Be obedient. Do it. And you will live. Now, the story could have ended there. The man could have gone off and either been obedient or not. And we would have a great set of instructions. Do it and live. But the man was a lot like me. Perhaps a lot like you. Because the story doesn't end. In fact, the man says, in order to justify himself or wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus another question, but who is my neighbor? I can love God and I can love my neighbor as myself as long as I get to define who the neighbor is. Sometimes, as long as I get to define who God is. And so Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan and at the end asks the man, so who was the neighbor in this story to the man who was beaten and robbed and left for dead? And this leader replies, well, it was the one who showed mercy. And I can almost hear Jesus say, bingo. I don't know if they played bingo back then, but you got it. Great answer. Go and do it. Be obedient. Be the neighbor who shows mercy. And we can take story after story out of God's Word, and especially the stories that Jesus himself taught, because they weren't just stories. They were instructional material. And I know some people, when you went to school or if you're going to school, you really enjoyed the story problems. I always did, but I would get so wrapped up in them that I would often miss the rest of the test. Others of you probably did not care for the story problems. You wanted it spelled out more accurately, more specifically, more detailed. That applied, not all the extra story stuff. But all of these aren't simply stories told by Jesus. They're teaching that are part of the exam, part of the test to help us know just how obedient we are. A friend of mine who I've learned much from over the years is often referred to our acceptable level of disobedience. We seem to be okay with disobeying some things. Some people, we're okay with driving 5 miles over the posted speed limit, 5 miles an hour over the posted speed limit. Others, their acceptable level of disobedience might be 10 miles an hour over, or 15 or 20, I don't know. And we look at that, well, who cares? Well, the problem is we adopt that mindset into every area of life, and God cares. In fact, when Saul, first king of Israel, other than God, did things his own way and tried to claim he was doing it in order to honor God, God says to obey is better than sacrifice. When God calls for obedience, the means don't justify the end. The obedience justifies a soul seeking God. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love gives us instructions and commands and precepts and all kinds of things in your word as a test. And part of that test is to see if we're going to be obedient or not. Whether we are stuck on things our own way. Whether we follow some person more than we follow you. And so God, today, as we live life, as we spend time gazing into your word, may we apply it and ask ourselves constantly, what does obedience to this text look like? And Father, for those times where we are disobedient, sometimes we just disobey out of ignorance. We don't know any better. Sometimes we learn and we do know better and we still disobey. And sometimes it's intentional because we want. So Father, forgive us for our acts of disobedience, for our thoughts of disobedience, for a mind that isn't wholly devoted to you. And God, today as we live, may the test of your word show where we need to work on our obedience and where we're doing well. And may we continually grow. And again, not as we're hoping our obedience earns us salvation. We know that that's been purchased by the blood of your Son, Jesus. But we want to honor that purchase by doing what he said, by doing what your word tells us, by living a life that not only hears your word, but puts it into practice. And so God, today, as we live life and we consider the people that we encounter, may our obedience not be an arrogant thing or a thing of pride that we think we've done it on ourselves, but may it be a thing that lifts up Jesus in the eyes of others, the one worthy of obedience. And as we live life today, wherever life takes us, may we be those who not only obey in all things, but may we be those who do it in a manner which lifts up Jesus, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.